I invite you to open your Bibles and to read with me. First, I'm going to read from part of the genealogy of Jesus as it's recorded in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, and then reading a few verses later. This is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then going down a few generations, this is something we actually read last week too. Salmon was the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. And Obed was the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. Now I'd like to go with you to the book of Ruth, and we're going to be reading different passages from this, beginning at chapter 1, verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there for about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." At this, they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. And then the story goes on that they go back to Israel, and Ruth begins to gather grain in fields by gleaning. And we pick up the story in chapter 2, verse 17. Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I worked for today, or worked with today, is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." She added, "That man is our close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers." Then Ruth the Moabite said, "He even said to me, 'Stay with my workers until they have finished harvesting all my grain.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with the women who work for him, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." So Ruth stayed close to the women of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvest were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Now, the story goes on that Ruth meets Boaz and addresses him as her guardian redeemer, and we read this from chapter 3. Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi, and Naomi asked, "How did it go, my daughter?" Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her and added, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Then Naomi said, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today." And indeed, they go and they do become married. And we read this final piece I'd like to read from chapter 4. "Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, 'Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than 7 sons, has given birth.'" Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The women living there said, "Naomi has a son," and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Just about everybody has a story of moving. I talk to many people and they tell me, "Oh, my family story of moving is after the Second World War, my family left war-ravaged Europe and they found a place in Canada." Sometimes people have told me that said their homeland was in Syria, and because of the civil war, they came as refugees to Canada and found sanctuary here. Sometimes I talk to people who say that they're from South America, and because of economic opportunity, they came to Canada, sometimes to escape violence that was in their homeland. I even talked with some Indigenous people, and they told me that their homeland was in New York State, but their ancestors sided with the British and not the Americans, so they came to Canada to resettle and to rebuild their lives along the Grand River. Lots and lots of stories. And these stories of moving are stories that define us. If we're going to understand each other, we need to know the stories that shape us. Jesus also was a man with a story that he could talk of his ancestors and the things that they went through that made his family what it was and made him who he was. If we want to truly understand Jesus, we also need to understand his story. Today we are learning about his ancestor, a woman named Ruth. During Advent, we've been going through this series of looking at some of the women that are in Jesus' family tree and noting things about them. And very often, there are things that are surprising, sometimes even shocking about them. Well, Ruth was tremendously important, of course, and there is a book in the Bible, which we've read from, that even bears her name. But to be honest, maybe you'll be surprised if I say this, but the book of Ruth is not really the story of Ruth primarily. It's actually, if you look at the structure and the formation of that four-chapter narrative, it's really the story of Naomi. How Naomi was a woman, a wife, and a mother who was full, and through death and loss became empty. And to where at the end of the story, you see this empty woman become full to overflowing, largely by the work of God in her daughter-in-law, Ruth. But Ruth was the person who was the ancestor of Jesus Christ. We understand that she was the great-grandmother of King David, and therefore the direct ancestor of Jesus Christ himself. To understand this story, we need to make sure that we get the gist of it. And the gist is that Naomi was a young woman with everything going her way, husband, sons, love, and then a time of great loss came upon the land. So they left for Moab, this foreign country. And while they were in this foreign country, her husband died and then her sons died. Her sons had grown up, become men, and had married to Moabite women, women who worshipped their own gods, who lived and were fully enmeshed in that Moabite culture. But when Naomi heard that the land of Israel was returned to fruitfulness, she said, "I must go back." And she tried to get her daughters-in-law to find a man here. "You are from Moab. Find a Moabite man. And be happy and live your life in your culture." And Orpah said, "Yeah, I think that's what I need to do." And she did. And Ruth said, "I am sure that my calling is to be with you. And to identify now not with Moab, not with the culture of Moab, not with the gods of Moab, but my calling is to identify with you, my mother-in-law, Naomi, and to identify with your God, and to change myself to be in line with you." That beautiful words, which even as I was reading them from the Bible just a couple of minutes ago, it's striking and tremendously beautiful. "Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." Well, Naomi and Ruth went together, and Ruth went with a new spiritual orientation, a commitment through her words to the God that was the God of Israel, the God that was the God of Naomi. And in that, she found her place in society, in community in Israel, that she learned the customs, how gleaning worked, and so she would go into the fields in times of harvest, and what the people gathering the crops missed or dropped, that was left for the poor. and the needy so that they could come and clean up behind the people gathering the crops. And in that way, they too could live and eat. The Lord happened to bring her to the field of Boaz. And Boaz was a man of honor. He was related to Naomi. And Boaz arranged that he would be the one to care for Naomi and Ruth. So there was someone who was more closely related. Boaz talked to him and said, I will take responsibility. And he did. And he provided. And he and Ruth found each other, not just as the owner of a property and a client, perhaps, who gathers, but came to see in her the one who he was called to be united with. And together, they founded a home and a family, and that family, through their son Obed, continued the chain of redemption that would culminate in the coming of Jesus Christ. This is the story of Ruth and of Boaz. This is the story of Naomi. The story of their loss and of their filling. This story has resonance in Jesus' own life as well, because Jesus, if you look at his story, his personal story, his personal life experience, that we read about how he was born in Bethlehem and we're moving towards Christmas where we will celebrate that. But shortly after his birth, the family had to flee to Egypt because the king wanted to have him destroyed. He got word that the king had been born. And King Herod wanted to take his place. We know that Jesus began his ministry when he was 30 years old. And it was no easy task that he had been given by his father, because his own family didn't understand him. His own community did not accept him. And indeed, we know he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and experienced the anguish of knowing what was to come. He would even suffer death and humiliation. Not easy, but it was for him the way of righteousness. It's a story of Ruth. It's a story of Jesus. It's a story of us. We are all people who have our own struggles. We have our disappointments. We have our own sorrows. We have our own fears and longings, and we go through life hoping for mercy and longing for home. It is when our hope is in the Lord that we can have confidence that the longings of our heart will be met. When you think about this story of Ruth, you can't miss the action of the Lord in this story. It was the Lord who put those beautiful, poetic, resonating words in Ruth's mouth. Where you go, I will go. Your God will be my God. That was a God thing for her to say that. The fact that Ruth was given these opportunities, that she was spared from from total destitution? Was God leading her? The fact that Boaz could be the kind of man who would show kindness to a stranger and allow the poor to be blessed in his own fields, that was a God thing. And Boaz came together. That was the wonderful orchestration of God. And the fact that they were blessed with a son, the text says explicitly that it was the work of the Lord showing blessing to them that they were granted the blessing of a son. The Lord fills emptiness. That is what he does. And Naomi went from utter barrenness to being filled to overflowing with the grace of God. And the women of the community looked at Naomi and said, "She is not a bitter woman. She is a woman blessed by the Lord." And thanks be to God for showing such grace, mercy, and kindness to her. Well, you and I have these pieces in our lives that are not easy. Some of us would even say that right now our lives are very bitter. I encourage you to look up. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith, and see him as the one who is in the process of filling you. Open yourself up to the blessing of God in your life, that you might also be given the opportunity to say, "Surely the Lord is good to me." Jesus, the descendant of Ruth, was not ashamed to have a Moabite woman in his family tree because she was a woman who had opened herself up to God and received the blessing of God. You are a person who can receive the blessing of God and be filled with God. That is what the gospel is. That is what Advent is about, that we are going towards the fullness. And together we will say, "Thanks be to God, glory be to him," and we walk with him forever. In this Advent season, I wish you the blessing of Ruth, and know that our God is good indeed. Amen.